not that I don't believe it.
Ginger.
Ginger in your nose? What?
What? Ginger takes soul.
Yeah.
This is the Kratom Fiends broadcasting from
Keenan, the Shire.
Yeah. A mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. Alter your locus aureus by warming your synapses.
Yes, we do.
Regenerative radio waves.
Yeah.
This warms your brain to a tasty and tasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it?
Yes! Cash Newman's still here. God, GD Cash.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, shucks.
So it's the Bipcot and stuff, but the Freedom Fiends, I do want to say this while it's still legal. Hillary Clinton is a liar, a socialist. Her feet stink. Her pantsuit stinks. And she's making sweet, sweet love with the corpse of Janet Reno in hell. I'm looking into my crystal ball. In an alley filled with Democrats and unwashed, unwed mothers.
That's
in hell.
Very graphic.
Thank you. I know, there's people listening who are like, that's too much, you went too far, but they're also like, I agree, but that shouldn't be on radio.
You have to agree.
Why am I doing a southern accent? I don't know. People in the south are all right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be collectivist, but I just hate that southern accent is shorthand in media for dumb. That is a citified, you think you're special, ivory tower, Cornell grad, PhD. Oh, wait, are we talking about someone in particular now? Oh, I gotta talk about my family at some point. All right, so I have to play this little clip, and it's important, so I'll play it. Here we go.
From Keenan, the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Saturday, November 5th, 2016. Silver is trading at $18.43 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,304 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at 2.2 cents, and the average price of Bitcoin is $706. And
he just gave a price on Bitcoin.
Yes, he did.
Oh, nice.
Yes. 2.2 cents in between these things are like that are like $1,000, $500 to $1,000. It was awesome. It was funny. It was literally comedy gold meets lip pair. And I liked it. He did it as kind of a joke because I kind of dared him to, but I liked it so much. I have now paid him to do it every day for the next 30 days in Bitcoin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
Except now it's about 1.5 cent. So
it goes up and down. Someone's been doing a lot of trading. You know, someone's been selling.
That's how markets work, I guess.
That's how markets work. Yeah. I don't look at the price going down as a bad thing because it always goes back up. And I just like when Bitcoin goes down, I just say, oh, it's on sale.
Yeah. You know? That's what I was just going to say. It's not down. It's on sale.
Yeah, man.
Unless it's plummeting. And then I'm freaking out. But.
Yeah, but Bitcoin doesn't plummet. Doesn't it really have far to go to plummet? Far enough to plummet.
Yeah, I noticed that Monero's my Monero assets went up about $4. So kind of happy about
what your four Monero coins?
Yeah, no, I have three. All right, I wish I had four.
If
you want to donate to Monero, you can donate to me. It's what's my address? I'm going to say it out loud. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, read a freaking crypto note. Address and capital B, capital a small J.
Hold on, let me start over. One.
Yeah. And you know what? Bitcoin, I think, as far as I know, has the longest addresses of any cryptocurrency because crypto note addresses are a lot longer than Bitcoin. Than Bitcoin type ones because Bitcoin ones are what 32 characters, I think. They look insufficient. I used to think they were long, like, oh my God, look at all those letters and numbers. Now next to crypto note, you know, Monero and Bitcoin and Bitcoin addresses, I'm like, man, poor little Bitcoin addresses. They're insufficiently long. You know, like a cat with a bobbed tail or something. You're like, oh, that's cute. But, and I actually, one time, I actually typed out a Bitcoin address from an image online to try it. It was like, I think it was in an article about, what do they call them? Jim likes it, Deadpools, but the actual ones where people like bet on, you know, on who's going to get it's an assassination thing,
assassination, which we don't market.
Yeah, we don't recommend it, but it's done with a Deadpool because only the killer would know what day exactly the person's going to die and he'd get all the money. So, but there was, I think it was on Wikipedia. They had a screenshot of it and I was like, I'm actually going to see if this is a real wallet and how much it is in it. And I typed it out and there was like, you know, 85 Bitcoin in it, like some pretty large amount of money. And I typed it. I had to do it like three times, like before I got one that worked. It got it to work because they're pretty long. But yeah, CryptoNote ones are like, Monero addresses are 95 characters, I think.
Yeah, they're pretty long. And if you want to generate, because you can generate up to like a few letters, the first few letters or numbers of an address with a thing. But if you try to do any more than two characters to generate one of these things, it'll take like weeks and weeks and weeks.
Oh, for a vanity address, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for a vanity address.
Well, we kind of had a vanity address for every Bitcoin because so we did something, as far as I know, no other CryptoNote coin has done. And the reason they have so many of the letters, numbers, you know, characters in them, spaces, entropy, is because it generates a new address for every transaction.
Right.
Yeah. So it has to be able to do a lot more forever. So, they're mostly 95. What does a Monero address start with? What letter? I forget.
Four.
Yeah, like a number four. Yeah. They all start with a particular number or letter. That's how you tell what addresses they are. But Bitcoin addresses start with BIP. We have three letters in common in all of them. And this is one of the things that Brian did before he left and we got a different team. One of the things I really liked that Brian did was I said, hey, could we start ours with BIP? And then I was like, no, that's a bad idea. I think that would decrease the entropy or something. And he actually read the entire CryptoNote white paper, which is really dense, denser than the Bitcoin white paper. And he understood it. And he was like, okay, by my reading of it, the first three or four letters of one of these addresses don't contribute anything to the security. So you can add three at the beginning and have a vanity one that starts with BIP. And he showed me where it is in there in the white paper and explained why that's true. And I was like, okay, I'm convinced. So I said it as a passing thing and then said, no, let's not do that. But he actually spent several hours figuring out why, yes, let's do that. And I'm really, really happy with that. Thank you, Brian, for your service. Yeah, I love that the address start with BIP.
Yeah, I have like a kind of a, I don't know if everyone, I guess it sort of is a vanity Monero address, but I can only do the first two or three letters or something like that. I think I
can take like three down.
Yeah, and then after that, it's just impossible. And so what I did is I said, okay, well, I have to have the first one is a four. The second one has to be a number. And then the third one can be a letter or whatever I want. And then so what I had to do was go, okay, 42, which, you know, the answer to everything.
Yeah.
And then J. And in order for me to get that second J, I had to keep making them until I found one with another J after it, and I was like, "All right, that works."
Yeah.
So I have 42 JJ, which is Jim Jesus. That's the best I can do. Yeah. If it was Bitcoin, I could have had
cool.
A little bit longer, but
yeah, it's kind of ironic too. Like making a vanity address with your initials in it in a system that the main point of it existing is total anonymity. Way to go, Jim. Well done. Thank you for your service.
Yep.
Yeah. So Bitcoin is now on. Bitcoin had a great couple days. So yeah, there was a thing with Daryl, and then we're now on the all cryptocurrencies. It's coinmarketcap.com. If you want to check this out, it lists the. This isn't even all the cryptocurrencies. It's the 640 top cryptocurrencies, and I'm using top loosely. Because there are, okay, like there are coins in here that, okay, the market cap of a coin, you know what, I'll explain. You guys might know what it is.
Okay, the market cap is basically what if you were to have all of the coins and you were to sell them on the
price
and the current price,
what they're worth.
Yeah, what they were worth if you owned them all, how much you could sell them.
In other words, what the network is worth. Although if you had all the coins and sold them on the open market, they wouldn't be worth what they're. Yeah. They'd either be worth nothing or everything. You know, that's how the market works. But
theoretically,
if you had all the Bitcoin. Everyone would just move over to, you know, something
Monero.
Else. Monero.
Bitcoin.
Yeah. There is a plan for Bitcoin that I'm not going to mention until it happens, if it happens. But, you know, so far we're just a Bitcoin clone with hella cool branding that's going to make us the Doge of dark currencies. But
except it's not ran by a social justice warrior.
Oh, is Doge? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, and Doge has an unlimited money supply, which means Doge is worth nothing, you know, pretty much.
Right now, I'm looking at it because I put the app in there just to help you make that little tutorial. And I only put Doge on there because the only other one was Ether, and I didn't want to be seen as supporting Ether.
Yeah.
So I used Dogecoin because it was the next best thing I could think. It's the only other one that's
funny.
Worth
it. Yeah. I like it, though. I thought, like, the only coins that matter to Jim Jesus are Bitcoin, Bipcoin, Monero, and Doge. That's a really interesting hand of poker you've got there, Mr. Jesus.
But a Doge coin is right now is worth two 1/100ths of a penny.
Yeah.
So.
A Bitcoin is worth a single Bitcoin, which we're now calling a kitty, by the way. A kitty is worth
100 times
a lot more than a lot of coins that are higher market capped on this. Let's see. The market cap of Bitcoin is 11 billion. Next one is Ethereum at 931 million. And then it goes down, like Monero's 86 million. And it goes down pretty quickly when you get to like, and these change a little bit, jockey back and forth. So Namecoin is at 33, it's 3.7 million. You get down to like, I don't know, let's find another one we've heard of. Megacoin is $500,000 for the whole thing. And you keep going down. And
what is a megacoin?
I don't know. There's so many on here I've never heard of. But there's also ones I've heard on that aren't on here because they're not even good enough to be on here. And, like, you know, the lowest market cap on here, Bitcoin market cap now is $6,700. It was $10,000 this morning. It'll be back up. It was $12,000. It goes up and down. But, you know, one is not the lowest market cap on here. $1. So,
wow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Kids are calling
that.
It
I don't know what
days.
That means. Yeah. I don't know what that
I
means.
Don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Let me read the manual.
Yep. All right. So, first of all, I do want to say we talked about Jim Davidson last night, and apparently he's now following me on Twitter since last night's show because I posted this thing about Nick Hazelton not being able to do math. It's funny because we were joking about, you know, on the show about Yeah. Did you forget how to read now that you dropped out of school? You know, because people have those jokes like when there's a car crash, they say, oh, his license must have expired just before this. Mm-hmm. But Nick actually was trying to do math on the show last night to multiply 50 by 2 and couldn't do it live on the air, which is kind of surprising to me.
Isn't it 100?
Or should I have the southern accent?
He said, because I sent him 50 Bitcoin, and it was 2 cents then. And he said, so what do I have now? I think, 25 cents worth?
Oh.
No, it's a dollar. He's a dollar. 100. You have 100. So I posted, wow, Nick Hazelton can't correctly multiply 50 times 2, but he's still a better businessman than Shulman. And Jim Davison was one of the 4 people who clicked like on this. Wow. All right. So I guess he is following me now, stalking me now, because I talked about him. And he's not friends with Shulman, apparently, but knows who he is, apparently. So maybe Jim Davidson's all right. Maybe he's not yelling, you fat whore, at women who vote these days, or are minarchists. He used to say that to Ron Paul, like, backers at Porkfest. He'd run up to him and start screaming at him. This, like, 60-year-old bearded man with an open carrying a sword. Yeah.
Oh, my. I was going to say, I don't know who this person is, and maybe, you know, I feel kind of out of the loop, but maybe that's good. Yeah.
If you'd like to find out more, there's a Facebook group called Verbally Abused by Jim Davidson. I'm an admin on it since I've been verbally abused by Jim Davidson. So just send a request and I'll approve you, Lisa, and you can hear all the stories people have told.
All right.
All right. So I guess there's an election tomorrow. I don't care. Did we talk about Hillary and how talking about it is going to be illegal tomorrow?
We should take advantage of that. And I need to tell you a Janet Reno story.
Well, no, I said that she smells like, you know, burnt steak in hell with Janet Reno's flaps all over her. And, yeah, but we have to say that stuff now because it'll be illegal tomorrow. So there's an election. I don't really care. Today is the 10th. It's 10 years today since my daughter died of leukemia. And it was a hard day for me. But I got through it because of the great news that Janet Reno died a slow, painful death today. Finally died. So that's great news. She's the lady who orchestrated Waco. Regardless of what you believe that you read in the papers, first of all, like, the people at Waco weren't doing anything wrong. They were just gun people who wanted to raise their own kids. Okay, Jim's disagreeing with me. However, do you disagree? Well, you know what? I don't even care what your opinion is, because this is fact. The government murdered children.
Yeah, it was a murder.
Okay.
You'll agree with me on that.
I don't care how nutty those people were. I don't care what they did wrong. The government went in and murdered a bunch of men, women, and children, and shot people leaving. Do you know about that? There's witnesses that saw that. Like, people were like, I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to stay and die in this guy's crazy religious apocalypse. Ran out, and U.S. troops murdered them while they were running out. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, and they actually had, like, cult experts who were there telling them, don't provoke them. It's going to make it worse. You're just going to make everything worse. But they just ignored it and decided, oh, no, we know better because, you know.
So that's Janet Reno.
The hammer.
I don't even want to go into the whole thing. That's Janet Reno, but thank you for agreeing. You know, if you were like, oh, no, the government was perfect in that, and Janet Reno did the right thing, I would have, like, cut you off right now, kicked you off the air, changed the Fiend phone password, you know, had 2 minutes of jazz while we changed the Fiend phone password. You know, Jim, you disagree with me about a lot. You think AA is a bunch of BS. I believe, you know, but if you believed that Janet Reno was a saint,
no.
I would cut you off right now. I would cut your mic.
Janet Reno is in hell with all of them.
With Hillary Clinton, soon to be there from pneumonia.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we're not talking about my family. So she also is the one who sent goons with guns to point machine guns at that little kid.
Yeah.
Elian Rodriguez, what was his name?
Elian? I know it was Elian.
It was Elian something. Now I don't remember
Elian.
The last name.
Yeah, I don't want to be racist.
I know a lot of people were saying it's Alien.
So that's something that could have been solved without pointing machine guns at a 5-year-old. Even if I don't think there was a problem, but if there was a problem, you didn't need to point guns at a kid. Remember that picture of the kid terrorized?
I do.
Ugh. Thanks, Janet Reed.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
So as Michael W.D. was saying before he was so rudely interrupted by a shell... about your family.
I left the mic up.
Yeah,
I heard you.
That.
Did?
I heard you going like, yeah.
Oh, you didn't hear me using the little boy's room? Okay.
No.
Good.
Oh, no.
The theme phone is so good that if you're quiet, you hear it, unlike with Skype from the other room. Yeah, and I was also like,
next time.
Like yelling from the bathroom to my wife, talking about, she said, did Jim say that Janet Reno's a good person? And I'm like, no, I think he just disagreed. He said she's a murderer and, you know, she'd be rotting in hell, sucking on Hillary's, whatever. But
I think David Koresh was a horrible person.
That's what I said. I said, I think,
horrible,
you know, I think Jim's a skeptic. He doesn't buy the common line on everything. And he believes probably that, you know, that Jim, that guy was kind of a Jim Jones in the making. But also, which, you know, still doesn't deserve murdering a bunch of people, including him and other people and children. Think of the children. Without the government, who would burn the children to death?
Yeah.
Right.
So you make sure you get out and vote. Because either way, the military industrial complex and all the shadow governments like the NSA and the CIA and the FBI all win. You know, there's actually a theory, too, that Jim Jones didn't murder and suicide all those people, too. Do you know about that? That, like, maybe the CIA or somebody did it. Like, a congressman died in that, too. U.S. congressman, sitting U.S.
DOJ
congressman
Ryan.
Ever to die. Maybe some shadow agency wanted him killed and just killed 900 people to cover it up. But Jim Jones was a loon. It's easy to kill loons and make it look like the loons killed their own people because they're loons, you know?
Yeah.
So... go vote tomorrow because your vote counts and you have to prevent loons. Only voting will prevent loons. Mm. So,
by the way, did I tell you that I am going to vote? Yeah, I know.
But somebody told me they wrote me in. Did you see that?
Oh, that's awesome.
There's a new Twitter account I've never heard of that's called like The Gardener or something. And his tagline is like, I cut your lawn and do your wife or something like that. And he's got like seven friends on Twitter and his picture is not me. I don't know who this is. And his picture is a picture of me, the Blog Talk Radio Aleppo thing you made with my head on Gary Johnson's body, Jim. Okay, this isn't you, is it? No,
he's been tweeting me too.
Yeah. And he said, I hate to admit it, but my status friend just devoted and wrote in Michael Dean or wrote in you. Like he tagged me. I'm like, wow, cool. Me and Daryl Perry will get about the same amount of votes. No, I'm kidding. He'll get a bunch. I'd vote for him. Yeah. I'd vote for him, but instead I'd rather buy incredibly cheap, weird ad time on his news segment. That'll help him out.
Well, see, I've been getting a lot of pushback from the alt-right and Stefan Molyneux fans.
Not me. I don't even see those people anymore.
And because they're annoying me so bad about being a libertarian, and therefore I must be supporting Gary Johnson because I'm not supporting Trump. It's like, don't be an idiot.
I just blocked these people.
Like, but now I'm going to actually vote for them just because, like, it'll make them angry. And I'm in a swing state, so it makes them even more angry. And I tell them, I'm voting for Gary Johnson.
Why are you going to leave the house and go wait in line with a bunch of sheep, man?
Because I have nothing better to do tomorrow besides live streaming and doing
podcasts. Yeah, you do. Figure out what's wrong with your fiend phone. All right.
But I'm just going to do it just because it's going to annoy them. And
it's working fine.
Yeah, and it's making me happy.
Does this voting booth run Bitcoin? Can you run? Does Diebold run Bitcoin?
Probably.
I love those people who want to like make voting honest by putting it on the blockchain. I'm like, no, don't encourage those idiots. No, then they'll just make voting mandatory and like, you know, the world will end up like Apple and Hillary will run the world and the world will look like Demolition Man, the movie.
Can I sell my vote for Bitcoin?
Yes, there should be. Oh, man, I should have made a joke website. You know, there's actually this. Do you guys know about these people called the Yes Men? It's a performance art kind of like lefty anarchist group that's been around forever. So they did a thing. I heard about them because I was in the Lost Film Festival with DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist at Sundance in 2001, something like that. And I saw this movie there and I really liked it. No one had ever heard of the Yes Men then. Now they're kind of huge, but this is like their debut was this little movie that was not in Sundance, but at Sundance. And it was, they had this website that was, it was a parody of like some part of the world bear, the world. What's the thing that controls all the money behind the better, like the Federal Reserve for the world, the World Bank. Is that it? There's a name for the,
are you talking about like IMF? That,
yeah, the IMF. So
yeah.
There was a branch of the, my friend, there's some guitar playing on one of the songs in the show. That's my friend who works for them. He's an economist for them. But so there's an offshoot of them. I forget what it's called, but it's one of the many shadow groups under them that, so the Yes Men had a website that was a parody of their website. And somebody contacted them like for some like economic forum in Switzerland, you know, a big deal, like contacted thinking it was this famous economist and said, oh, will you come speak? We'll fly you out, blah, blah, blah. And this was before 2001 when you could actually like get a plane ticket in someone else's name and use it. They committed massive fraud to do this. You know, they told this person, oh, yes, Dr. So-and-so would be happy to do this. And then they show like the rest of the video is like making this bearded hippie anarchist look respectable. Like they take him to the barber and get him a haircut and a shave, and then they take him and buy him a cheap, or they rent a suit for him and get it tailored or something. And then, you know, it shows him on the plane. This is all shot on like low def digital camcorder back then, kind of like that trailer of the, did you see the Cash Newman movie tonight? You guys see it?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We'll discuss it later. Masons, it's Masonics. So, but he went and spoke at this thing and made a PowerPoint presentation that he'd come up with this, the best way to solve problems of democracy and people being disenfranchised in the world was instead of having like huge corporations, you know, running everything and buying all the lobbyists off and the politicians, he proposed this website. It was called like, you know, sellyourvote.com or something. And he said, people around the world that don't have enough money can go to this website. And he was presenting this as a valid economic theory, and people were buying it. That's the punchline of this whole thing. Like economists from, you know, government agencies around the world were like in the audience going, yes, I am intrigued with your ideas and wish to subscribe to your newsletter, and like shaking his hand afterwards. It's funny, man. Yeah, so you got a Janet Reno story. Dazzle me, baby.
Yeah, okay, so I was a preschool teacher at a state and local government facility. I know, this is a long time ago.
You and Steve Miller and my sister. And my sister I'm going to talk about later.
Yeah, so a lot of the parents of the children were judges, lawyers, some were politicians, you know, local level people. One, they used to hold press conferences there for like local government, and Janet Reno came to one of them. and she spoke, and it was something about education and kids. Yeah.
Did you smell brimstone when she walked in the room?
I avoided her. This was before I had the kind of mindset I do. I mean, I was skeptical of everything back then.
You avoided her anyway. You were just intuitive.
I did. I just had a bad vibe. I was like, I don't like this chick. So, and plus, I'd seen Will Ferrell make fun of her on TV. So, you know, I just was like, she looks like Will Ferrell. So my daughter was like 3 or 4 at the time, and she walked over to her, and my daughter was painting on an easel, you know, like doing her art thing. And Janet Reno walked over and was trying to talk to her, like, oh, what are you painting, little girl? You know, and my daughter looked at her like, threw her some serious shade, looked at her like, why are you talking to me? Who are you? And just looked back at her painting, just kept painting, you know. And Janet Reno just kind of like shrugged and walked away. And I was like, should I go over and tell my daughter, you know, be polite, you're being rude? I'm like, nah, it's good. So I kind of tease her still, you know, when things come up, I'm like, you snubbed Janet Reno. She's like, I had a bad vibe, you know? Kids know. If kids don't like you and if animals don't like you, there's something wrong. It's a warning sign.
Yeah, it is. Nikki Darling, who used to be a fiend. And Nikki, you're welcome back anytime. Come on. Come on back. We want you.
Yay!
We had a beef on Face Beef or something, but it's all good. Do you know her?
Yeah, I've met her person.
Tell her.
Okay, I'll tell her.
Will you drop her? I think I have her blocked or she has been. No, she actually... She unfriended me, and I accidentally said on the show that she blocked me when she actually just unfriended me, you know, like splitting hairs, and she got furious because she's like, I think she thought I was lying. I'm like, I just don't remember what you kids call all these things on the face twats, face tweets, face twerks.
She's a smart chick.
Yeah, she is. I like her, and she should be back on the show.
She's funny.
But, there's a picture of her somewhere with, like, Donald Rumsfeld standing next to her smiling. She told the story on the show.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. She's a photographer. Really good one. And she's really good. I think she used to be, like, a commercial, a photographic contractor for the Navy or something, if I'm recalling correctly. Like, that was her job before Enlightenment, you know, BL, before Lib Pair. And and one day, like, it was a what do you call the meet and greets where jerk and squirt? No, where people like get their pictures taken smiling with. What's the name for that, Jim?
I think it's a meet and greet, right? Isn't that
it's a
that
meet
is?
And greet, but there's a derogatory name for that kind of picture.
Oh.
I don't know, pump and jump or something. Anyway, so she was taking those and somehow I think ended up with a picture of her and Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh, God.
Rumsfeld!
Ugh.
Cash Newman! Rummy. Newman! All right, so I guess I'm going to talk about my family when we get back, but I do want to preface that the name of this episode is I'm too smart to vote and you're too stupid to vote. And it's actually inspired by a member or two of my family who aren't stupid. Like one of them has a PhD from an Ivy League university. And it's not like when I mistakenly thought Penn State was Ivy League because I was mistaking it with the University of Pennsylvania. And Steve corrected me. No, this is like one of the, what are there, 7 or 11 Ivy Leagues? Like it's one of the original Ivy Leagues. And my sister has a degree in sociology from Cornell. That and a $5 will get you a cup of Starbucks and a job teaching social justice warriorism at any major, any university.
Social justice warriorism.
Yeah, so she's the one that was like asking me, now that we're 164th black, should I be checking mixed race on government forms? Like, she was serious, like, proud. Like, oh, I want to show my mixed race heritage. I told her about Rachel Dolenz. I told her about Elizabeth Warren. I told her it was a bad idea.
You're listening to the Freedom.
And then things followed up that I'll talk about.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Now back to 24 hours of election coverage here on the Freedom Team.
The final season of America.
Yeah, this one. And all the writers have gone nuts.
I got some inside knowledge. They're renewing it for another season, so don't worry.
Oh, America?
Oh, no.
Good. We're not dead. The show's
really
not dead.
For giant meteor.
Giant meteor of death. Yeah, this is too inside baseball. You have to explain this here for the people in the cheap seats or the people listening who haven't heard a lot of Freedom Fiends who are listening in Greece, like my friend Marquise from the Bipcoin team, who's over there right now working on helping Daryl Perry with Bipcoin, figuring out how to mine better and faster or something. And yeah, hi, Marquise. I like you. This is good. So, all right, so I want to say hi to him. And Jim said something funny earlier during a break. He was like, well, what I was trying to say before we got interrupted by a radio show. I'm like, I like that.
Because I was bashing Apple, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's what's important to talk about this time of year in election season. Because it's way more important.
It matters a lot more.
It's more important to me to talk about a dumb laptop.
It is much more impactful on your life.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Bipcoin a lot more, and I'm thinking about who's going to be president. I don't really care who's going to be president. You know, no matter who it is, here's who wins: the military-industrial complex, the CIA, the FBI, the NSA,
and
the
Bitcoin.
Police, the police-industrial state, and the bankers, and also Bipcoin. Yeah. So my family, my mother's dad, God rest her soul. My dad is 95, so his opinions don't really enter into anything because he's a great guy, but he could barely like. He's not senile. He just like is, you know, he hasn't kept up with technology like. His first job was driving a tractor when he was 14, okay, during the Great Depression. That's how old my dad is. All right, so. And then I have three siblings. I have two sisters and a brother. One sister I really like a lot. I talk to. She doesn't bug me. The other sister and the brother, like, I don't know these people. I didn't grow up with them. They're way older than me. They were off to college when I could talk. And I don't have the, like, lovey-dovey family, you know, they have that they want me to be involved in. And that's not, you know, people might be like, oh, how can you say bad things about your family? And I'm not really saying bad things about my family. It's more like I don't know those people and I happen to be related to them by blood, you know. Unlike most people, I don't feel that blood is thicker than water, that you have to be true to the people. I think you make your own family, you know. Like,
yeah.
I'll say this. Marquise is listening in Greece right now. I haven't known him that long, but we've talked a lot. I consider Marquise, Greek, I consider him more of a brother to me than my brother. And that's not an exaggeration. Absolutely not. You know, like anything that you do for a brother, I would do for Marquise before I would do, you know, like, including like talk to him. Like, I don't even want to talk to my brother.
So yeah, Greece is awesome, you know, because it makes your food taste way better. Just a little bit of coconut oil or some
that's lard. Such a dumb joke, man. I thought you were going to at least make a failed economy joke.
Maybe I should have done it in a Steve Miller voice if we were talking about puns, right?
He would have pulled it off. That's not your kind of joke, you know? I guess I'm not going to talk
about I've been about hanging around him too
this,
long, I guess.
I'm not going to talk about my family in this... I'm in a prelude up to speaking about my family because, you know, Jim Jesus. Yeah. It's hard to get a word in edgewise with Jim. It's part of the beauty of Jim. It's fun to listen to shows with Jim. I like doing shows with Jim Jesus, but
I like doing shows with me too.
Yeah. And Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Hi. Me too.
Are you on Kratom? Are you going to be the Rush Limbaugh Kratom?
I'm not on Kratom tonight. I'm not. I will. I am going to be. I'm going to be the Kratom king.
I'm not. I don't do Kratom. Never. But my cousin Cash Newman has been doing it a lot, and he bothers me. He's a family he's a I'll fan, put up right? with, though, because.
Buy me Kratom. I don't know what this is. I ordered some incense, apparently.
Called Kratom, so, yes.
Yeah called Kratom.
Called incense. Yeah. It's a strong variety coming. Of incense.
It's coming, but I got like the, what is it, the medium, what does it call it, stuff. I don't know if that's any good. Like, so, this is all confusing to me.
The reason this episode is called I'm Too Smart to Vote, You're Too Stupid to Vote is I kind of believe that about some people. Like, most people who vote don't know anything about politics. Like, if you believe in the informed voter thing, most people who vote aren't informed. But if you're really informed, you don't vote because you see the pointlessness and immorality of it. And my family, some of them are, even the ones with PhDs, sometimes are too uninformed to vote. And we'll talk about that when we get back from a trip to the market.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Hot Bay 2A. A meteor above sea level. Electric Furry Studios, where we kill everything because it's a human extinction event. This is my official endorsement of the only candidate who's really worth anything, and that's Sweet Meteor
Sweet
of Death.
Meteor and Sweet Meteor of Death.
And Sweet Meteor of Death is covered by a bit, like the Freedom Fiends, is covered by a BIPCON, no government license, unless used by anyone except governments. You can learn more at BIPCON.org. Yeah. But it's going to kill governments too, so don't think it's, yeah.
Hey, there will be no problems with the economy after Sweet Meteor of Death comes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, any problem that you have, it's going to be solved
rent,
by this.
The rent
like,
too damn high, Sweet Meteor of Death. Don't like your politicians, Sweet Meteor of Death.
Yeah, and Sweet Meteor of Death tweeted a little while ago, I just passed the moon, #, see you soon. I can't wait.
Nice.
I'm
so
really
excited. Smod.
Yep.
So it's been a rough day for me. As I said earlier, this is the 10th. I don't want to say anniversary, but 10 years ago today, my daughter died. My daughter died on November 7th, 2006 of leukemia, and it broke my heart. I couldn't sleep for, you know, I really couldn't sleep more than like 2 or 3 hours at a night, you know, at a time, and then maybe a cat nap in the afternoon for like 4 or 5 months, and didn't really sleep right for a year, and had a lot of trouble getting through it, and I'm still not really through it, but I can function now. You know, it took me like a year before I could function, and although I actually functioned right after, like, you know, I was in the middle of finishing up the DVD of the Hubert Selby movie and getting it off to the DVD presser, but the MVD, Music Video Distributors, the company that was going to, you know, had signed it, basically. They've done all my movies. And, you know, like the way stuff works when you do commercial things like tech books or like movies that have a distributor, it's kind of a little interesting, but it's a lot of pressure because, like, put it this way, that movie was listed for sale on Amazon when all the files were still on my computer. And, you know, so like my daughter died. And so I had to, first of all, I married DJ not long before that. And DJ and I spent our honeymoon at my daughter's funeral. And my stepmother, my dad wanted to come to the funeral. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. I'd love you to have you fly out to Oregon, you know, from New York. And my horrible, evil stepmother, who's right now licking Janet Reno all over in hell because they are two peas of a pod, threatened, didn't want my dad to go to my daughter's funeral and knew she wasn't welcome because, you know, I didn't like her. My daughter didn't like her. My daughter's mother didn't like her. My stepmother threatened to come to the funeral if my dad came to the funeral to get my dad not to go. So I was dealing with that drama. This is why I don't deal with my family, stuff like this. And you know, my dad was like, he didn't really get why it was a problem. That's a problem to me too, you know? So I, you know, we went to my daughter's funeral. It was actually a memorial. She didn't have a funeral. Her memorial, you know, during our honeymoon, after we got married. And then, you know, I spent the rest of that week on our honeymoon grieving to where I couldn't sleep because of my daughter's death in a hotel, putting together the DVD files to send to the presser for like this, you know, like, and they were like, hey, do you need a couple more weeks? And I'm like, this thing's in Amazon. You have a date listed for sale in a couple weeks. I don't want to, you know, I want, it was also like, well, I could say, yeah, I'll take the couple weeks. Thank you. I appreciate it. And then like sit and stare at a wall and be like stuck in my thoughts and worries and fears and, you know, sorrow. No, I'd rather do some work to get my head out of it. So I did. And so today has been a weird day. I didn't sleep a lot. I had work been over here. I slept 2 hours. I napped later, but, you know, I was dealing with that, thinking about that. And then like I get these this ridiculous bunch. They know it's 10 years since my daughter died. And then like they're bothering me with just such BS. Like, so everyone knows I had a DNA test a while back. It was to find out things medically about me, to find out how to get better if there was something I was, my doctors were missing. But it turned out I also got so much more. They had racial and geographic backgrounds, like, you know, I'm 98 point whatever percent European and this kind of European, this breakdown. But I also found out I'm 164th, or, you know, about 164th. I am 164th African, which isn't that uncommon. It's not rare. But it's, you know, I am 164th black, as I say, although technically race doesn't scientifically exist. And race is more determined by what you call yourself and what people perceive you as, whereas African is a thing that's scientifically provable. And DNA is a thing that's scientifically provable. So I told my family about this like 5 months ago, 6 months ago, when I found out the results. And I thought there'd be a couple emails like, oh, isn't this cute? You guys might be interested in this, because, you know, I knew that one of my sisters is a social justice warrior and would probably like it. And it's turned into like probably 100 emails back and forth between the four, you know, the three of us and the family and dad, the four kids, dad. And like now they're like pulling strangers into it. So like, you know, today, like yesterday, my sister, these are the people I'm saying are too dumb to vote, even though they have high IQs. My the one sister I like, let's call her the good sister. My other sister I don't like, let's jokingly call her the bad sister. She's not really a bad person, but she wrote me yesterday. I talked about this. She wrote me yesterday and was totally serious. Like, oh, now that you're 164th black, I guess I am, since we have the same parents, should I check mixed race on forms? And I'm like, no, look in the mirror. You look white as the day is long. If you put mixed race, you're going to get in trouble like Rachel Dolan's or like Elizabeth Warren. She didn't get that, even though she worked at an incredibly liberal school. Like, she was up in her ivory cubicle, not aware of what's going on in the world. and doesn't know about what's going on in the world, really. Like, doesn't know why it'd be a problem for someone who's whiter than me. I'm the whitest guy you know. She looks whiter than me to check mixed race on government forms and, you know, other forms. So I explained that to her. And then today I get this email from her and my brother. Like, oh, she also wanted me to resend the results because she couldn't figure out how to paste this table into an email to send to someone of my racial background or, you know, ethnic background. So I resent her as a JPEG, and so today I get this email back from someone I don't know with all my siblings CC'd on it, like, oh, thank you for sending me to this. And it's some PhD in, like, genealogy. I don't know, you know what you call a PhD in genealogy, but my brother and my dad are
genealogist,
really into. Yeah, he's a genealogist, a doctor in genealogy. Yeah. So they're really into, like, finding out, like, oh, our great, 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 great grandfather was in the Revolutionary War. So my brother signs up and proves he was a relative. So he's now in the Sons of the American Revolution, who are a sort of weird, racially weird group, but I guess they let people who are more than 1/64th black in now. But I would never do that. I don't care what my ancestors did. It doesn't mean anything to me. And I think a fascination with genealogy is for people who don't have anything going on in their life and want to feel good. Like, you see these ads for, like, Ancestry.com. I thought, and it's like a guy wearing a kilt, and he's like, I always thought I was English, and then I found out, or no, I always thought I was German, and then I found out I was Scottish. And so now I wear a kilt. Like, you ridiculous human being. You know,
oh boy.
Like,
yeah,
take I don't pride have, in stuff you never did.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing. Like, I don't have any pride in nations. It's too amorphous. Like, to say I'm proud to be American, because America is 350 million people or 20 million people, most of whom would probably want to see me dead if they knew the thought dreams in my head. They'd probably want to put my head in the guillotine, to quote Dylan. But, you know, I only have pride in what I've accomplished and what my friends have accomplished and anything I helped influence someone to accomplish. I don't have pride in stuff that dead people did. You know, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But my sister was like, oh, well, you know, like, CCing back to this professor in genealogy who was explaining to them, like, the eighth grade math I did in my head when I got my results. Like, well, father is one half, mother and grandfather is one quarter. Like, come on, man. I don't need a PhD guy to explain this to me. I did the maths in my head when I got my results. It's ridiculous. And I said, like, you know, I'm having a bad day because my daughter, and in general, I don't want the two of you CCing me on anything. The other sister, who I'm also CCing, can write me anytime she wants, one-on-one. She's great. You two are incredibly annoying. Stop. But it won't stop, man. They'll just keep doing it. I've tried to defoo. It doesn't work, and I can't really block them because we have family dealings, but I just, to quote someone in to the Squizelf in Metablockalypse, families is the peoples that you hate. I don't hate my family, but they are so annoying, some of them. I can't believe it. These people are too stupid to vote. Too stupid to vote. So the too stupid to vote thing, do you guys know a book called Mulan Labe?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sure everyone knows the phrase. It means come and take it. It's a explain the history of the name. One of you, please. It's Greek. I'm probably saying it wrong. And we have a Greek listener right now. I'm embarrassed.
Correct me if I'm wrong, which I probably am. But there was a cannon that allegedly belonged to the Mexican government or something like that. And they were like, bring it back. And they were like, no, come and take it. And that started some.
It goes a little further beyond that. It goes back to the Battle of the 300, of the Battle of the 300, of the Greeks against the Persians, against the Leonidas.
Sparta.
Sparta. And was that Greek? Sparta was a Greek city state, right? Yes. My American public school, private school. I think so. So, yeah.
Everything I learned from that battle came from the movie.
Yeah, there was the fight there where the one side said, you know, lay down your weapons and we'll let you live. And the side with the 300 says, and I think it was the Greeks that had 300 and the Persians that had 10,000, right? I hope so.
Spartans hope had 300. Right. Persians had the...
Yeah, yeah.
Turn the skies black with all the arrows.
Yeah, yeah. So the Persians said, lay down your weapons and we'll let you live. And the Persians, or the Spartans said, you know, Mulan Labe. I'm probably saying it wrong, but it's ancientish Greek, I guess, for come and take it. Like, yeah, it's basically saying, like, it's the old-fashioned way of saying, you'll get my guns when you pry them from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
But there's a book called Mulan Labe, written by my friend, Boston Tea Party, Wyoming writer. Basically, spoiler alert, it's a novel where Wyoming secedes by getting a nuke and planting it and hiding it in D.C., and then D.C. lets them alone. I'll have more when we get back on that. All right.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
So I like Jim's got. Say it, Jim.
The best meow in the game.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, you're a theremin player, aren't you?
A thereminist, yes.
Yes, I told my wife that, and she's like, "Of course he is." Which she likes you from what she likes you from what she knows about you, but she just thinks you're weird because I tell her you're weird. So, you know the song "Good Vibrations" by the Beach Boys.
It is amazing, not a theremin.
Song. It's not a theremin. It's a fake theremin. It's a thing with a knob.
Yeah. It almost kind of when you see people play it, it kind of looks like a slide guitar. It's the best way to
No. The thing. I looked it up. Yeah. This thing's a box with a knob on it, and you just control the pitch with the knob.
It has like a little key on it, and then you slide the key up and down the
live
thing.
That's how they do it live. In the studio, it's the fake theremin thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I've seen them when they play it live. It's like this weird box. And
Google it, people. I have the documents.
It's still like a ribbon, like a theremin would be. It kind of uses the same electrodes or whatever to kind of hit that weird sound. But it's not a theremin. And they go, woo-hoo!
Jim Jesus, talking about theremins. My cat, Bob, is trying to climb my window.
Yeah, my theremin is pretty awesome. It's hooked up to like a synthesizer. It has a built-in like synthesizer, and it makes all kinds of crazy noises. And it also has pitch correction, which is probably the reason why I suck at it still. it's one of the most difficult instruments you could possibly learn.
This is called an electrotheremin. Google it, people. It's a box with a knob on it that just produces a sine wave. It actually would be incredibly easy to make that. Mm-hmm. Put a little reverb on it. Okay, so we're going down the wrong hole here. So I was talking about Mulan Lave. I looked it up on YouTube. It's pronounced like Mulan Lave. Mulan Lave. That's how the guy said it. Here, we could, if Bob would get out from in front of the speakers, we could just actually hear this Greek person saying it.
Come and get them!
Mulan Lave.
Mulan Lave. Sounds like, all right, so what I want to know, and my Greek friend, my Greek brother, Makis, can email me about this. I want to know if people in Greece, first of all, know this phrase. Of course they do. Second, if they probably learned in history class. But do people, I wonder, in Greece and the outside of America know that this has become like a battle cry of gun owners in America? Like, it's really common for people who own guns who feel strongly pro-gun, you know, against gun control, hate Hillary Clinton, want to keep their guns, wear shirts and have bumper stickers that say, Mulan Lave. And Yeah, it's a good term. So there's a book about it, which actually is largely why the book is in popular culture, why the phrase is in popular culture. And there's an FBI agent there who's really smart, which, yeah, they exist. You know, if you're dumb, you become a cop. If you're smart, you work your way up to a Fed agency. So, you know, he's like an FBI detective type, and he's flying somewhere to do something, and the TSA is like, "Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to take your shoes off. I need to search your shoes." And he says to her, "You're not smart enough to search my shoes," and just walks through. I love that. I don't love, like,
that's funny.
You know, a Fed goon being cool, but that's pretty funny because it's like there are a lot of agencies hate other agencies. There's a lot of, like, hatred, I think, between the CIA and the FBI. And there's a lot between the, I think it's like the CIA think they're smarter than the FBI. The FBI think they're smarter than the DEA. Everyone hates the DEA. That's like the lowest agency, I think, to a lot of Fed goons. But I think the TSA is probably a bit below DEA as far as, because they hire people off the pizza boxes and train them for like 4 months to search your shoes, sir. But yeah, I like that. So that just kind of reminds me of the "You're Not Smart Enough to Vote." So the name of this episode is "I'm Too Smart to Vote, You're Too Dumb to Vote," and it's dedicated to members of my family who, the other thing was, like, she was, you know, the thing about the Scottish thing is actually wrong on the show. Like, Ancestry found out the guy was Scottish, Ancestry.com, by searching records. It's not by DNA, because my sister was like, "Oh, well, what did your test say about, you know, your Scottish ancestry, Michael, and our Welsh ancestry?" And I'm like, "Stop bothering me with this. You're not smart enough to even talk about this. Scottish and Welsh and English are the same as far as DNA is concerned. The only difference is slight accents and a little bit of culture differences. It's the same people, you know, my sister thinking that DNA tests are actually going to tell if she's how much Scottish and Welsh she is. She's insane. And she's like, "Well, what part of Africa? I mean, are we from Ghana or are we from, you know, Eritrea?" Like, this is something else next to Ghana, Gold Coast or whatever. And I'm like, those didn't exist. Those are creations of man in modern times. You know, DNA is real. It's science. City states are hallucinations. By the way, siblings, have fun voting tomorrow. The only good thing that happened today is Janet Reno died a slow, long death. If you don't know who she is, you're not smart enough to vote.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean.
We're out.
This is what radio sounds like now.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
I love that joke. That's about what Bob sounds like, too. Yeah, I'm going to increase Jim's buffer here. He's buffering hard, so here we go. All right, so.
Well, that's because your fiend phone is eating up all my CPU. It's clearly, you know, your fault, because there can't be anything wrong with me, right? It can't be anything wrong with me. It's got to be the software. And I'm not even going to look into it. I'm just going to send you an email and say, something's wrong. That's you all should. It's going to say.
Yeah, I know. That's how people ask it. I'm making a post on the Bitcoin site in the next day or two of how to ask for tech help, you know, with us or with anybody. And it's like, don't just say, "It's not working. Fix it for me." You know, we need a little more information than that. All right. So we are aware that some of the LRN feeds are down. Some are up. Ian Freeman is working on it. I don't even know if I should be announcing this, because either you're listening or you're not. So if it's not working, you're not going to hear me saying they're working on it, people. Although you, there's probably a couple of people who switched, smart enough or know enough to switch over to the GCN feed, which is always up if we're on radio. So although there's different ads, and they're all for colloidal uranium enemas,
or maybe
to keep away the new world order,
or maybe they'll find out tomorrow when they listen to the podcast. Oh, that's why it was down. Yeah. Now that I'm listening to the rest of the show,
yeah. LR, Ian runs a tight ship, and I love Ian. He can tell him about to say something critical. I love Ian. He's the reason we're on radio. He's been a mentor to me. He's helps a lot of people. A lot of things in Liberty. That's none of my business, Jim. No, I was going to say, it's kind of funny, though. So of like the what I would consider the three main hosts on Free Talk Live, they have a whole slew of them. But mainly, I'd say it's, you know, Ian Freeman and Mark Edge, who started the show. And then Daryl Perry is kind of one of the main. He's there a lot. Who's the other guy that's great? Is it TJ the Spy or Conan? I can't remember. One of them's great. But anyway. One of you people is great. How's that for a compliment?
I only listen to the digest, and the digest, they never mention who what their names are.
Yeah, you listen to the short version for people that don't. Yeah, that's cool.
Because there's a lot of filler and basic 101 stuff in there. I'm just kidding.
But other than the ads on the Freedom Fiends, which we edit out the GCN ads and put in a lot less ads than there are ads, we don't really have much filler. It's either all filler or no filler, depending on how you look at the Fiends.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Free Talk Live is more of a conventional talk show. I mean, they and us are the only shows on terrestrial radio syndicated anywhere in the world that have a straight up non-aggression, like everything should be voluntary. Governments are stupid, although they kind of tend to, they don't like the word anarchist. We do. I do. I'll speak for me, but most of them don't use that word and also flirt with politics a little bit. Like Daryl Perry, kudos on him. He took it a long way. He actually ran for president. He's still running. Yeah, although I don't know if he's thinking he's going to win, because I think that,
he's just a conscience vote for people, for libertarians
who
can't vote for Johnson.
But this
he's
is
so
a compliment.
Horrible.
I'm not dissing Daryl Perry, I don't think that Hillary and Trump are spending tonight having someone help them mine Bitcoin better. I think they're a little more focused on other things, but Daryl Perry, we're helping him with that. So
I would actually vote for one of them if they actually were teaching people how to mine Bitcoin.
I know. Maybe. I still wouldn't. But
or daylight savings time. I know there was some rumor about like Hillary wanting to change in daylight saving time, but I was like, that's really tempting, but no, thank you. Really.
Yeah, so Ian Freeman, I love him, but the hosts on that show, let me get up the right volume here so I can really talk about Ian Freeman. So of the three main hosts on that show, like Mark Edge is curious and intrigued by Bitcoin. Daryl Perry mines Bitcoin in his Not a Bus. And Ian Freeman is like, I tried to send him the ad, like, hey, can you play this free on LRN a few spins? And he's like, I don't really like most altcoins. But he loves Monero, and he says he likes some altcoins. He loves Monero, but I'm kind of like, too. He's like, he was a big proponent of Steemit, of that big steaming pile of Steemit called Steemit. I know you like Steemit because you got Steemit on your Steemit dog. And he was like, yeah, man, I've been blogging for them, and I made $1.61 this week. And
oh, boy.
Which I believe him. I still think the whole thing's some kind of scam, because Jeff Berwick is not, he's about as popular in Liberty as Ian Freeman. God knows why. Jeff Berwick gives the worst financial advice in the world, and people lose a lot of money, and people still go back to him and think this guy's a paragon of, I don't know, just because he dresses slick and throws nice parties. But, Jeff Berwick, like the first day Steemit came out, he's like, doesn't this sound like an email you delete? Like, I made $15,000 blogging for 4 hours. That sounds like an email you delete. But that was like he and a couple other people, Liberty people and others, were like, suddenly, like, everybody was looking at them saying, like, oh, they made 15 grand in 4 hours. And then so everybody got involved in Steemit. And, like, Ian Freeman, who's about as popular as that other guy, made, like, $1.67 in the same amount of blogging. So I think there was some kind of, like, I think those people actually got paid out. But I think it was I would almost say something resembling in the nature of something Charles Ponzi once did. I'm not going to say it.
I sort of know what happened. Okay, so the guys who run Steemit are the same guys who did BitShares, I think. So
yeah, they owe me, like Berwick, both owe me a little bit of money that they said that they'll never pay me.
Yeah, so they have all this Steem power, which is what you need to kind of help other people and your post raise to the top. And so if you like something...
This sounds like a multi-level marketing. Like there's three different things. Yeah, it's designed to eat up your brain and make you go, oh, yeah. Well, if I play this in game, it just like it's chess. Yeah. Like, you know how Jim, you know how you say AA is not science, but it tries to make itself look like a scientific process?
Yeah.
Which I agree with you about AA. That's ridiculous about AA. I think Steemit tries to do the same thing.
But with an MLM, it's not really an MLM, right. But it's
a shell game. No, it's a shell game, Jim. Yeah. If you want to use an analogy of a real-world shifty thing, I think it's a shell game.
So, so they have all this Steemit, but they're big fans of Berwick. So when Berwick came on... they started using their Steem power to boost his stuff up. So, and when you like something, when you have a lot of Steem power, that you get a lot of money per like.
Like, basically, the founders have worked it out. So they present it as this democratic democracy in action. Everyone's vote counts. But it's kind of like Animal Farm. Like, well, some pigs are more equal than others because the founders, like them clicking like on something or whatever is worth like 1,000 or 2,000 or 15,000 normal plebeians, clicking like.
Yeah. So if the whales like you, like they get to choose who wins and who loses. You can theoretically buy all the Steem power you want. You can dump a whole bunch of money and buy a bunch of Steem coin or whatever, or just Steem and then dump it into your account and then make yourself really like a whale. But it's going to cost lots and lots of money for you to do that.
So Ian was a huge fan of that, but this is the guy that like won't give BIP. He won't get no. Okay. He may. I don't know. He can call in if he can. Ian has the power to break into this show. He could, if he's listening, he could break into our show and put in his word. So it's not like I'm talking about somebody and I'm not giving him a chance to. Ian literally has God power on it. He could break in on Fiendphone right now. So if he doesn't have the creds, he can email me and I'll email him.
Of course, I'll crash.
You will if we get a fourth on here.
Yeah. I will crash and burn.
You don't have enough fiend power. You got to buy more fiend power for your fiend power. What if we turn fiend? What if Bitcoin did pretty well? If Bitcoin does pretty well.
Oh my gosh.
If Bitcoin does pretty well, I'm probably going to make other cryptocurrencies in the future.
Yeah, do a social network.
What if we turn What if we turn Fiend Phone into a coin? Fiend Phone
Steem
coin.
Bip. Just call it Steem Bip.
Yeah. .bip. All right. So Ian Freeman is like, won't even look at Bitcoin. Like likes me, likes software that Derek and I come up with, has no reason not to like it. But I'm like, I got this new cryptocurrency. You want to check it out? And he's like, puts his nose up and he's like, I don't like, no, most cryptocurrencies are, blah, blah, blah. But this is the guy that gave Steemit a huge chance and like had Jeff Berwick on the show for like an hour or two and like spent a whole show or two pimp. And then like during a week, like every once in a while, like, I'm still blogging for Steemit. Do you want some Steemit with your Steemit? Like how's that working? How's that working out for you, Ian? So here's what I'm really happy to see. Steemit is crashing. I mean, they're still got some
good,
they're still on momentum. They still have some money, but
good.
Steemit is now below the market cap of Monero. That rocks. Monero rocks.
Mm. Yeah.
They have a weird name in a dead language, synthetic language that only 10 people in the world can speak. And their logo looks like a bank or a hockey team, but their science is solid. They're the most solid crypto note coin out there.
Yeah, I kind of consider Bitcoin to be the Dogecoin of crypto.
Yes.
Note, but like all the big problems with Dogecoin is eliminated. First off, it's not based on a meme with a shelf life.
Right.
Doge, the meme is dead. It doesn't have like infinite creation ability, so it's not like fiat currency.
Right.
Well, it is all cryptocurrencies are fiat.
Yeah, but it has a limit.
Yeah. And
so it can have.
Yeah, and the other one is like it has a sense of humor. it has a sense of humor.
And not just in like Dogecoin is a one-hit joke. You know, it's like the joke is the name of it. The such wow, many blah blah blah. You know, many steam it. But you know, people have been pointing this out to me. Like they're really. I mean, the tech manuals on the Bitcoin site are fun and funny. You know, there's like jokes in and they're actually more solid than a lot of tutorials because a lot of coins assume that you know. Like what a CLI wallet is. I explain what a CLI wallet is, and then tell you how to set one up. So what I'm really happy about is Dogecoin is somehow like market share number 11 out of 640, which is pretty amazing, but it's just below Steam. So a couple more weeks and Steam is going to fall on the top 600 hit parade. Steam is going to fall below Dogecoin. That's going to be a funny and beautiful day.
I don't know about you, but there's a setting on Facebook where you can block certain websites. And one of the ones I have blocked is the Libertarian Republic. So if someone posts a link to the Libertarian Republic, it won't show up in my newsfeed. Also, Steam It. And so like all the people who use Steam It are basically ghosts on my friends list. I don't ever see anything they post because
you've held it. I don't see it anymore.
You've held
it. A while ago. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't see a lot of it.
So I'm pretty proud, too, that Bitcoin, that's been out less than 3 months and was completely dead for a month of that. Although somebody was mining it and mined like a quarter of the existing Bitcoin. It was like a post mine. I want to know who that person is. I had an offer to make them if they can contact me.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. Yeah. And yes,
we can hard
broadcasting this into space.
Hi, have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bipcoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
Radio interrupting our conversation again.
Radio interrupt us. That should be the end of the show. All right. So I'm also going to post in the show notes tonight the link to this movie that I made with my cousin Cash Newman 15 years ago this year. And it was my first film I made. It was a 3-minute short. It was like, so Cash Newman wrote this book called Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women. It's his autobiography about San Francisco punk rock life. He was a punk rocker like me. I am still, but he's slam dancing the Grateful Dead in the other room. And I don't know what he's up to.
Yeah.
So, I know. Playing it really loud in headphones. So, sitting in a chair, slam dancing on K, vitamin K.
Grateful Dead is a hate crime.
Great. Yeah, you know, someone pointed out tonight, too, if you're going to listen to hippie music, Jefferson Airplane are much better and harder, and they don't noodle as much. All right, so
I'm all about the neo-psych, man. You got to get into that Tame Impala or some Temples or something.
I don't know what that is, but I do know that I'll
send you some later.
I've gotten in arguments naked in a hotel room with the singer in your favorite band, The Flaming Lips. But that's
awesome.
Have I told you that? That's actually, I was in a towel, but I was like mad at him and I just like dropped my towel. Like, yeah. So what? What are you trying to say? Like pretending like I wasn't naked? Yeah.
And Steven Droid was kind of like, he may be a freak, but I still like his band.
Yeah. How do you
I'll mention
Steve
that in an interview someday.
How do you say Steve
Droid?
Droid. Droids. I thought he told me it was Droids.
Maybe. He might have made it
weirder.
But that's the way I've been saying it.
No, he probably just made it weirder to be weirder.
It's like D-Z-O-I.
I love that guy. I love Steve Droids.
How do you pronounce that? Zroid.
Yeah. So what I love about this show and like about you guys a lot is everything. But This is pretty funny. So during, like, you know, we're calling this show, I'm too smart to vote, you're too stupid to vote. So our international listeners who don't know, tomorrow is voting day in America, and it is the stupidest election in America. It's the two worst, you know, even if you believe in voting, which we don't, it's the two. And hey, Greece is where democracy started, and look what it's led them to. They're the longer you have democracy, the quicker you collapse. And I'm not saying we should have tyranny or a king or something. I'm saying, like, you know, self-rule instead of mob rule. So,
well, maybe they should have voted harder.
Yeah, vote harder. Out. You know, Lou invented that, right? Lou and a buddy of his invented the phrase "vote harder." That's become a huge meme.
For people.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't know that you're.
I used it today.
Your lover man there, Lou. You're blushing. I can hear it. So here's what I love about your job is before you tell your stupid voter story, story about stupid voters, Lisa. I was like, you know what? This is kind of cliche, but it would kind of really make the point since we're calling this show "You're Too Stupid to Vote, I'm Too Smart to Vote." I need a picture of a bunch of sheep lining up for voting booths. And Lisa and I was like, I'll go Google that. And Lisa's like, oh, I have a whole folder of those. Yeah. So I'm also going to put
memes.
I'm going to put the Cash Newman movie. If you want to see my cousin in action in this film I made with him. Like 15 years ago, 3 minutes long. I'll put in the show notes and to prove he's real. And this, it's actually, this is a weird Tony Clifton kind of thing. Like he's kind of my Tony Clifton, the actor who plays Cash Newman in this film, who looked like a younger, better looking me at the time, is named Simon Clifton. Is that weird, Jim, or what? And there's also, he passes a street sign in this and it says big and behind him Mason. So I said there should be a conspiracy theory that this movie's a Masonic dog whistle of some kind about why you should take Kratom. All right. So, yep. So tell your wonderful story, please.
Okay. So this pretty much sums up what the election is like. Okay. I don't like Trump. So you like a liar like Hillary? She should be in jail. I don't like Hillary. So you support a racist like Trump? He doesn't even stand for American values. Me, I don't like either. Everyone. So you're going to waste your vote on third party. They're never going to win. Me. So there's no point in voting. Everyone. It's your duty to vote as an American. You can't just not vote. You can't win.
Actually,
that's pretty
you can.
Much sums it up.
Very possible. Watch me.
Oh, and I have an answer
doing it right now.
About Mulan Lave. And he spelled it Mulan Lave, which Marquise wrote me back. He said, no, they do not know. Monan Lave is how he spelled it, is Greek, because it's in Greek letters, the original, but the English equivalent looks more like Monan Lave. He said, they do not know Mulan Lave is Greek. It means come and get the gun. So I think he's saying that Greek people don't know that this thing is Greek. That
they don't speak Latin.
I think what he's saying is that this saying is a lot more popular in the rest of the world.
I think it's Latin.
Than in Greece.
I think you're wrong.
Well, it was the Greeks saying it, though. But were they speaking Latin? I don't even want to end with a wrong note like that. Let's send it to our crack research team. Just smoke some crack and research that.
Your Kratom team.
Yeah, I like this one. Oh. This is the show image right here. I love it. Thank you, Lisa, for your service. Thank you, Jim, for your service.
You're welcome.
Vote harder, everyone.
Yep.
Yeah. So my other sister that I like is a lefty, but she knows the Federal Reserve is part of the problem.